That we covered in Perek HaChelek was the notion in the Rambam Ve'en Lo Chelek Olam Haba. If somebody is Parish Min HaTzibur, and the Rambam is very clear, as we've spoken about, that the person is not Navarian in Osa Averos, but he doesn't do Mitzvos Bichlalan. In particular, Eino Nichnas B'Tzarasan Ve'eno Misana B'Tanisan. So what we've been discussing this week, La Halacha, we tried to define with respect to Lo Samar Al Dam Reyacha, which is really about a sense of urgency, Hatzalas HaNirdaf, what I call the Lo Sase equivalent of V'Havta L'Reyacha Kamocha, redefining of the self, an expansion of the self to really include all of Reyacha B'Torah V'Mitzvos. It's not Vashevo so low, where it's just a question of, you know, getting the result. But the emphasis, as we spoke about, is in terms of the process. And it's not so much about stopping the rodef, right? That's Vekatzosas Kapa and Losacho Seinecha. It's really a din in identification with the nirdaf. Umimela, it applies Bein Bemamono, Bein Begufo. Memele applies Bein Bitovea Benar, Chaya Gorartar, Listim Boy, and Alav. And, of course, it applies to the case of Rodef as well. But, again, not primarily there. Just there, you know, in addition, as we spoke about the Sefer Mitzvos and the Mishneh Torah. This is, as Jonathan noted so correctly yesterday, it almost speaks to the ideals of the Ramban about looking at halachos as a way of refashioning our spiritual persona, redefining the self. A nothing short of, you know, redefinition of who we are. It's not just a Talmud mevi lidei Maisa, you know, the Gemara in Kiddushin, about Talmud Gadol versus Maisa, and that great debate, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon, and the Chachamim. It's not just a Talmud mevi lidei Maisa, but a Talmud mevi lidei Yitziras HaAdam, the creation of our inner worlds. And this is one of the most ambitious areas in terms of identifying with the entire Jewish people. Parenthetically, I would note that this was the great achievement of Sefer Shmos. We're going to finish tomorrow. The last words of Sefer Shmos are Kol Beis Yisrael. The book of our becoming a nation, the transition between being a family, B'shivim nefesh yerdu avoseinu mitzrayma, and being a nation, is done in a unique way, in terms of Klal Yisrael. The opening psukim of Shmos describe Eis Yaakov, Ish u'beiso bo. So the secret, apparently, of Am Yisrael becoming a nation was that we retained our bias identity. Le'enei chol beis Yisrael b'chol ma'asehem. This was achieved through a number of mechanisms. I'll highlight one for now, and we'll leave Makom Lehizkader and Od Chazon Lemoed. But with respect to Karban Pesach, there the emphasis is Ish Selaves Avos Selabayas, the role of the family in Karban Pesach. But the Torah says something remarkable. V'im Yimad HaBayas Miyos Misa V'lakachu Shcheino HaKarov El Beisov B'michsas Nefashos. So basically, the idea of the Karban Pesach was if your bias, for whatever reason, is not able, there's too much, there's going to be no sar, so join with the bias next to you. There's profound symbolism in that. The Vishachtu Oso Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael wasn't a nation which required us to repudiate our familial identity, but it was actually an expansion of the bias. Eis Yaakov Yishu Beis Obao. So just like with Karban Pesach, one bias merges into the next bias, and then into the next bias. That's how you have Kol Beis Yisrael. It's a very important message, always, to identify with Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael. It's an expression that only occurs three times in the Torah. The other two times, again, highlight that even at the national plane, we retain a familial identity. The second time the Torah uses the expression Kol Beis Yisrael, it's in the context of the Avelos Nadav and Avihu, when given the special strictures of the Yom HaShmini, and the fact that Aaron and Elazar and Itamar were not allowed to mourn on that day, Roshechem, Lo Sifro, Vigdechem Lo Sifrom of Lo Samusu, V'al Kol Ha'idah Yiktzof, V'achechem Kol Beis Yisrael, Yivku Es Asreif Asher Saraf Hashem. Avelos is a din in Krovim. Avelos was transferred from the Krovim who couldn't to the Krovim who could. V'achechem Kol Beis Yisrael, they're part of your bias. Third time. V'ayivku Oso Kol Beis Yisrael Shloshim Yom. That Aaron was mourned Kol Beis Yisrael by the entire Jewish family. I'm going to read something twice. Important things are happening right now, and it requires us to approach it from the framework of Torah. Anti-Semitism must be called out, confronted, and condemned whenever it is encountered without exception. We are and will always be strong supporters of Israel and Congress because we understand that our support is based on shared values and strategic interests. Legitimate criticism of Israel's policies is protected by the values of free speech and democratic debate that the United States and Israel share. But Congresswoman Omar's use of anti-Semitic tropes and prejudicial accusations about Israel's supporters is deeply offensive. We condemn these remarks, and we call upon Congresswoman Omar to immediately apologize for these hurtful comments. As Democrats and as Americans, the entire Congress must be fully engaged in denouncing, rejecting all forms of hatred, racism, prejudice, and discrimination wherever they are encountered, dated the 11th of February, 2019, not 1 month ago. Anti-Semitism must be called out, confronted, and condemned whenever it is encountered, without exception. We are and will always be strong supporters of Israel and Congress because we understand that our support is based on shared values and strategic interests. Legitimate criticism of Israel's policies is protected by the values of free speech and democratic debate that the United States and Israel share. But Congresswoman Omar's use of anti-Semitic tropes and prejudicial accusations about Israel's supporters is deeply offensive. We condemn these remarks and we call upon Congresswoman Omar to immediately apologize for these hurtful comments. As Democrats and as Americans, the entire Congress must be fully engaged in denouncing and rejecting all forms of hatred, racism, prejudice, and discrimination wherever they are encountered. Again, the 11th of February, 2019. This statement was, of course, issued by Nancy Pelosi and the entire leadership of the Democratic Party in the House of Representatives. At the time, I actually called Speaker Pelosi's office to thank her for this very strong statement. The history goes back to 2012 during Mivtza Amud Anan, when now Representative Omar famously accused Israel of hypnotizing the world and prayed that Allah would open the eyes of the world to Israel's atrocities. When reminded of that by my friend and college classmate, now New York Times columnist Barry Weiss, that this is a classic anti-Semitic trope, that Jews are hypnotizing the world, that Israel is hypnotizing the world, she thanked, that is Representative Omar, thanked Miss Weiss, said, "I'm learning." And not more than 2 weeks after that, astonishingly, she claimed that congressional support for Israel is, in one of the crasser expressions that has entered our public lexicon, all about the Benjamins. In other words, the second great anti-Semitic trope, that Jews control, not with hypnosis, but with their money. I guess when the hypnosis fails, that's when we take out the money. And once again, she was severely reprimanded in this statement. She apologized, which she referred to as unequivocally. Personally, I don't think it was that unequivocally. There were those who felt that as Representative King had been stripped of his committee assignments for equally abhorrent, racist, and anti-Semitic remarks about white nationalism and white supremacy that she should have been also. But I thought it was a strong statement at the time, and I called the speaker and our local congressman to thank them for doing what they said must be done to confront and condemn anti-Semitism. Last week, as all of you are aware, in a Washington, D.C. area bookstore, Representative Omar, following the national pastime here, strike one, strike two, strike three, engaged in the third, and in my view, most pernicious anti-Semitic canard, that of foreign allegiance, insinuating that supporters of Israel, whether in the Congress or outside of the Congress, have pledged allegiance to a foreign power and are disloyal to the United States. I say most pernicious because hafoch ba vafoch ba dechol ba ve'in chadash tachas hashamesh. Vayomer paro lechol amo lemor, hinei am b'nei Yisrael rav atzum imenu, havan ischak malo pen yirbe, v'hayoa kisikrena milchama, v'nosaf gam hu al sonenu. They're disloyal. Forget about Yosef saving our country from the famine. Truly, they are disloyal. Yashno am echad mefuzar mefurad bein ha'amim, בכל מדינות מאחוסך, ואסדסי המלך אינם עושים. They are disloyal. ולמלך אין שווה להניחם. 1895, a member of the French General Staff, Captain Alfred Dreyfus, handing over secret plans to France's archenemy at the time, Germany. 1918, the communist revolution comes to Russia. Jews are singled out as disloyal, as what they refer to as class enemies. Capitalists in this country during the Red Scare, Jews, of course, just the opposite. Bolshevik sympathizers. The list, of course, goes on and on. And so you have an anti-Semite. The Mishnah Navo says, Havidanis kol ha'adam l'kafzachos. The Rishonim explain what that means is, where there's a doubt, we should always try to interpret a person's actions in the most charitable way. There's no longer any doubt. Because this time, having learned very well that there apparently would not be consequences, there was no apology. And in fact, instead of Representative Omar being expelled from the Democratic Party, stripped of her committee memberships, or at the very least compelled to apologize again, whatever that would have been worth, and given the fact that it's patently insincere, in effect, those who 2 weeks ago said that anti-Semitism must be confronted, condemned, whenever it happens without exception, in the span of 2 weeks, retracted that position to being, instead of confronted and condemned, ignored and excused. Without exception became with shocking exception. And it's no longer even anti-Semitism. As the speaker said last night, I'm sure it wasn't really understood, the full weight of the words. It wasn't intended regarding hatred and bigotry of all kinds, which of course we condemn. But it was response to very specific, pernicious, insidious comments. Imagine the following scenario. You get a call from a school administrator telling you that your daughter was just pummeled by some other child. You come to school, meet with the administrators, you're expecting to hear, you know, some disciplinary measure. And the principal says, you know, don't worry. We condemn violence of all kinds, from whatever its source. That's what happened yesterday. They couldn't even name the purveyor of the hatred. Because that would be to, of course, single somebody out. That is what Rabbi Sacks was speaking about. And so the third lesson from the Megillah, Kim ha-charesh tach-rishi ba'es hazos, condemn anti-Semitism from the ultranationalist right from the radical left. Number one. Number two, lech kenosis kol ha-yudim, to stand together. And number three, u'mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh. Never to kneel and to bow. It may be countercultural in certain circles, but never to yield. You may not be accepted in certain cocktail parties for supporting Israel, for not allowing Israel to be singled out over Russia and China and Saudi Arabia and Nicaragua and Venezuela and Syria. And Representative Omar has yet to call for BDS of any of those countries. U'mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh. An essential aspect of our spiritual personality is refusing to yield to an idea because it is popular. Now, my basic premise, of course, is that members of a group have a very particular responsibility when other members of that group spread hatred to condemn it. And so for those on the right, when Charlottesville happened, it was imperative to say that no, there weren't good people on both sides. Those who attend a Nuremberg-style Friday night torch march are not good people. And certainly when Pittsburgh happened, there was a unique responsibility. And when it comes from the left, there's a responsibility that was met 2 weeks ago and was shamefully not met this past week. But it also applies to us. Some of you may be aware that under intense pressure, but that's certainly no excuse, the National Religious Party, what used to be called the Mafdal, Mifleget Dati Lumi, now it's referred to as the Bayit HaYehudi, engaged in a technical merger with a party called Utsma Yehudit, Jewish Power. This is a party that incites violence against Palestinians, calls for mass deportation of Israeli Arabs, venerates the mass murderer Baruch Goldstein, and is running an individual on their slate, Itamar Ben-Gvir, who was actively involved, I'll show you a video if you so desire, in inciting the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin, which he has never recanted. This is a vile and racist group, and no political expediency can justify the national religious movement, which stands for certain values, making common cause with this kind of racism. And so we have a responsibility when it comes from within. It's always easy to say about some other group, why can't they condemn the bigots from their own ranks? And we too have that responsibility. But as we study this week, the hisrashlus, the mechayev of seeing one's fellow or one's fellows, the kol beis Yisrael of which we spoke, being threatened. And we have now come to a crossroads where a person can say that Israel hypnotizes, that Jews bribe and corrupt with their money, and that Jews cannot support Israel and be loyal Americans. The three great historical anti-Semitic canards, and not be specifically condemned. We are now at a crossroads in this country. Don't take for granted that what you have known to this point, what I have known to this point, will always be. The United Kingdom, America's oldest ally, stands at the very precipice of electing somebody who describes members of Hamas and Hezbollah as friends of his, and has publicly questioned Britain's labeling Hamas a terror organization. The United Kingdom, part of the alliance against the Nazis, the country led by Winston Churchill, who said, "We will fight on the beaches, and we shall never surrender." At the very precipice, it could happen in a year or less. But take nothing for granted. And it depends on you. It depends on all of us. Ki'im ha'charesh tacharishi ba'is hazos. The rewiring of the self. We don't only care our own immediate concerns, our own academic and social and spiritual concerns in whatever order, but a sense of visceral identification with the tzibur, with a Jew or Jews in danger. The mechayiv of lismameya bepikuach nefesh, or hisrashlus in lo sambar al dam reyacha. There needs to be a visceral and instinctive response, an intelligent one, a well-formulated one, but there should be a visceral stirring within the soul when faced with these issues. And as Mordechai said, and with this I'll conclude, Al tidami v'nafsheich limaleit beis hamelech mikol ha-yehudim. Don't think they're not talking about you. Al tidami v'nafsheich limaleit beis hamelech mikol ha-yehudim. They mean all of us. And so whatever your political persuasion is, left or right or center, independent or apathetic, they mean all of us. And so hopefully our involvement in this sugya, concluding Sefer Shmos, Ishu Beso, to becoming Kol Beis Yisrael, this sensitizes us to the Tzorech HaShah, to the need of the hour, and even if others were unwilling to speak up, I hope that all of you will. And know as many of you go on, especially from here, soon enough on college campuses, can often mean retaining the status of persona non grata. But that's okay. U'mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachave. It's never a reason to compromise your ideals. We'll hold it up here. I guess.